God has always had a plan for us to experience a abundant, rich, overflowing life filled with wonder and joy, confidence and peace. But the question is, who am I going to rely on? Am I going to rely on God to provide that for me, or do I rely on myself? And oftentimes we try to come up with that life on ourselves and leave God out of the equation. Before we get into the lesson, I want to join with Brother Code in welcoming everyone this morning. If this is the first time you have been to a church service like this, you may be noticing some things we do not have. The Lord's Church, we believe that we honor the Father by honoring His Word. Malachi said, if I am the Father, where is my honor? And we follow God's Word. That is what is going to judge us in the last day. John 12:48. Jesus said that the Word that I speak will judge you in the last day. So if you have any questions about the sermon or the service or anything, feel free to ask afterwards. But we are so glad that you came to be with us today. This morning and this evening, I am going to continue on our memory session. And what I did the other day, I went ahead and printed out the verses, and just to fill everybody else in, last year we started this at the beginning of the year to learn so many verses, and we're adding to that this year. So if you picked up one of the books earlier this morning and this evening, we're going to be going over on page 9, faith, trusting God and His Word, and those verses that are on there. So let's start in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In this chapter, Paul begins by talking about us being dead in our trespasses and sins. And we walked according to the world. We carried out the desires of the flesh. And when we did that, we faced the wrath of God. But God extended His love and His grace in verses 4 and 5. And He's given us an eternal inheritance in verses 6 and 7. And then verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift. But what does that mean? A lot of people will say it means a lot of different things, and I think we need to look at the context, and we need to look at the other books and letters that Paul wrote. But what is this works that he's talking about? Well, we were just talking about that in Bible class this morning in the book of Galatians, where there were Judaizing teachers that were trying to impose works, that you were saved by works and not by faith, or not by grace. There's works, there's faith. There's bondage to the old law, there is grace. In Ephesians, again, 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Again, thinking of the Jews, they thought they were God's favored people. They were God's chosen people for a time. And then they sinned so much that God said, I'm going to send you away into captivity. And just to prove that I am God, I'm going to bring you out of captivity. But then the covenant that God made to Abraham 430 years before the law of Moses, he said that all nations would be reconciled in his seed. That's Christ, through Christ. All would be reconciled. So Paul is telling them that the Gentiles are going to be saved by grace, just like you Jews were saved by grace. You couldn't do anything to save yourself. Nobody has been able to do anything to save themselves. And that's why Paul told the Galatians it was because of transgressions that the law was added. The old law was too burdensome. So God puts no difference between the Jew and Gentile, saving both by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. On the part of God, it's salvation by grace. On the part of man, it is through faith. It's through faith. How do we get faith? When Paul wrote to the Romans, he said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we want faith, if we want to understand God, we have to open up his word, and we will get faith. It's recorded in John 20, verses 30 and 31. Truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. So there's evidence that was presented, it was confirmed, it is for us so that we can believe. Mark 16, 15 and 16. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. How do we believe? We have to have faith. How do we have faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Acts 11, 12. Then the Spirit told me, go with them, doubting nothing. And this is Peter, when Peter went to the household of Cornelius, the first Jewish convert. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and they were to be witnesses. And we entered the man's house, and he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And notice, you think all the different ways that these men could have been saved, and the angel never saved them. You can't ever find or read about an angel saving anybody. But he says in verse 14, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved. It goes back to the word of God. That's where we learn what to do. In Acts 16, 30 and 33, he brought them out. This is with the Philippian jailer, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. This washing of stripes shows that there was repentance. Believing on the Lord, that was manifested through baptism. Acts 18:8, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believing on the Lord and all his household, many of the Christians hearing, believed, and were baptized. And some people will say, but see, if you're baptized to be saved, that contradicts what you said earlier, because we're saved by grace. You can't do anything to work to earn your salvation. But people, again, misunderstand what the works were and the justification by the old law. Jesus, in John chapter 6 and verse 29, he answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So Jesus is saying that belief is a work. So we understand that we need to do things. God saves us on his terms. If we do not follow those terms, we are not saved. And throughout the Bible, you see back from the Old Testament, when people obeyed God, you see the pleasure that he showed toward them. When people disobeyed God, we see the displeasure he showed toward them. It's our choice. It's our choice. And we can only be saved by God, not of yourselves. We cannot do anything to earn it. When we've done everything that God tells us to do, we're still unprofitable servants. We're unprofitable servants. It's the gift of God. It was prepared. It was delivered. It was given to us. Why? Because God loves us. God loves us. But we can only be saved in Christ. Romans 6:3, or do you not know that as many of us as we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. See, all those spiritual blessings are in Christ. And Paul tells us that the way we get into Christ is through baptism. In Ephesians 2:9, the next verse, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not of the Jewish works of the law. They couldn't keep it. And it is sad. It's sad. They knew they couldn't keep it, and it was burdensome. It was described as a yoke of bondage. And when Christ came to set them free, what did many of the Jews want to do? They wanted to go back to the old law. The book of Hebrews was written to a bunch of Jews that wanted to go back to the old law. Again, as we've said, one of the hardest things for people to do is to change. We don't like change. Whatever we do, we don't like to change, even if it's good for us. But it's not of works. Not they couldn't keep the old law and be saved. And again, he states here, not of works, lest any man should boast. If someone were able to keep the old law perfectly, then they could boast. Look, I've earned my salvation. Friends, none of us, again, no matter what we do, can earn salvation. That does not negate us doing those things that we are told to do. But we cannot save ourselves. We cannot glory. None of us are righteous. We want to strive for that. We want to be like God, like Christ. But we fall short. God gets the glory. God gets the glory in our salvation. And again, I see it's sad because so many people want to rob God of the glory today in the church. You hear people talking about my church and this church and our church did this and our church did that. Friends, whatever we have, God is in control of everything. He brings everything about. And whatever we do, we should give God the glory because we couldn't do anything without God. Galatians 3:19 helps us to understand why this law was given, the old law, beginning at verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Again, that promise was made to Abraham. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. That mediator of the old law was Moses. He's the one that God spoke to. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? And that's talking about the law of Moses. Was that against the promises of God? Certainly not. Paul goes on to say, for if it had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness could have been by the law. But the scripture was confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. So we've all sinned, we've all fallen short. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So the old law, it served a purpose. The old law was to bring God's people to Christ. But once Christ came, we no longer need to be brought there. We're already there. We have His word revealed to us. So we don't go back to the old law. We don't keep the things of the old law. Now, God appoints certain things to be done, and we must do them. But again, He's done that from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, do this, don't do that. We see when they did those things, they were blessed. When they disobeyed God, that's why we're in the mess we're in today, is with sin entering into the world. But it's when we do something, when we believe, when you read about Bible belief is always active. It's never passive. It's always active. James says in chapter 2:14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God? You do well. But what's he go on to say? Even the demons believe and tremble. You talk about your faith. Well, the demons have faith too, and they tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And we understand that. Until it comes to religion. And then, like we talked about last week, safety in the shipwreck, you had to have faith. The angel told Paul that all would be saved safely, but they had to do things. If you have faith, there has to be some action that takes place if you believe. If I said that hallway is engulfed in flames over there, that side of the building is on fire, and the only way to escape is through that front door at the front of the building, there's only one way to escape this fire that's going to destroy us, what would you do? Would you fold your hands and just sit there and say, I believe that'll save me? No, you got to get up and you got to go through that door. We understand that. But then we tell our friends, we tell our family, we're separated from God. We're dying. We're going to be destroyed unless we can save ourselves. And the only way that we can be saved is in Christ, is through Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He is the door. There's only one door that you can go through to get to the Father, to get to heaven. So what do we do? Do we just say, well, I've got faith and I believe that? Friends, we'll be in everlasting fire if that's what we do with our religious belief, compared to if there is a physical fire here. Faith without works is dead. James warns us that no faith can justify that is not made perfect by works. We have to have faith, and then it's justified by the works. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. When we memorize verses 8 and 9, it's so important to learn verse 10. This balances out the Bible's teaching about good works. We are not saved by doing good works, but we are saved to do good works. The New International Version says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we aren't saved by works, but once we are saved, we are to do good works. We are to be filled with the Spirit. And how are we filled with the Spirit? We go to Galatians chapter 5 and we see the fruit of the Spirit. We plant that seed in our heart, in our mind. The seed is the Word. We bear that fruit and we do good works. Titus 3 verses 4 through 8, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we are done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. These things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So again, we are saved to do good works. On the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light shine that they might see our good works. Matthew 25 talks about the judgment scene, about visiting prisoners, feeding the hungry, helping those that are oppressed. All of those things are good works that we are to do. When we talked a little bit in class this morning about our nature, where basically we are all selfish people. We are all selfish people, and God wants us to be selfless. He wants us to be sacrificing for others, doing things for others. And Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When we become a Christian, we're crucified with Christ. And it's no longer me living, because if I was doing what I would want to do, I'd do all kinds of things. But I've got to let Christ be my king. I've got to submit to him. It's like a lot of people don't want to do that. It's like with the Israelites when God led them out of bondage in Egypt. It took one day to get the Israelites out of Egypt. And then it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites, because they wanted to keep going back. They didn't want to change. There is a sign in a window of a dry cleaning and dyeing business. You don't do too much clothes dyeing, but those are around. This says, and notice it's D-Y-E instead of D-I-E, we die to live, we live to die. The more we die, the more we live. The more we live, the more we die. We understand that with a laundromat and clothes. And again, to apply it to us spiritually, when we become a Christian, we die to that old man. I want to get in one more verse. Well, very briefly here, and then we'll pick up with the rest of this evening. But when we do this, when we're saved by grace and not of works, we're created to do good works. We're crucified with Christ, and Christ lives in me. And then our next verse, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Peace, that's what I want. That's so much what the world wants. And we can only have that peace in God. Peace can be defined as that God-given tranquility. It doesn't matter what's going on out in the world. It doesn't matter what storm is going on. We can have peace in Christ. And an interesting section in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus goes to his hometown of Nazareth, he reads Isaiah 61. He says, and this is what the prophet was talking about. That's me. That's me that the prophet was talking about. And did the people like that? No. They got angry. They wanted to drive him out of town. They took him to a nearby cliff. They intended to kill him on the spot. And then Luke 4:30, Luke records, he passed right through and went on his way. Friends, that doesn't say it was a miracle. Doesn't say if he just walked through them. But that's the kind of peace we can develop in God. No matter if the world's falling down, Monday morning's going to roll around tomorrow, everything's going to collapse, we can just walk right through it with the peace of God. And the last part of that that verse says, and be thankful. There is so much in this. We'll pick up with verse Colossians 3:15 and go on with the rest of that this evening. Friends, we've got to remember that when God created us, we were in fellowship with God. We were in fellowship with God. When man sinned, sin broke that fellowship, and our sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59:2. When that sin separates us from God, how can we be reunited with God? We can't do it on our own. There's no way. No man can save himself. But that's what the gospel is. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That good news, 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Back to Romans 6:3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So when Christ was crucified, he died, he was buried, and then he rose again. And this baptism, we see the parallel with that. We repent of our sins, we crucify our flesh, we say, I'm not going to do that anymore. We are buried in the waters of baptism to come in contact with that blood. That blood's the only thing that's going to redeem us. 1 Peter 1:18, 19, we aren't redeemed with the perishable things, with gold and silver. We are redeemed with the precious blood of the Son of God, the Lamb of God. And that's through baptism. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, if you've not put Christ on, or if you have and you need the prayers of the congregation, you need prayers for encouragement, if we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.